Hey, y'all, it's Garth.
I love the country music family. I love the country music family of artists and the country music family of songs. Some of the greatest artists to ever grace music are under the flag of country music. And some of the greatest songs in music history are under the flag of country music. The Big 615, you're going to hear the newest that country music has to offer. At the same time, you're going to hear the newest that the country classics have to offer. I want to hear the new single from George Strait, and I want to hear it right beside the new single from Luke Combs. And I think the country music family is one of those families that is very inclusive and wants both the established artists and the new artists to be side by side in this thing we call country music.
Download the TuneIn app from the App Store. That's TuneIn. And by the way, yes, it's free. You can also ask your device to play the Big 615 on TuneIn.
Whether you're doing a dance to your favorite artist in the office parking lot, or being guided into Warrior One in the break room before your shift, whether you're running on your Peloton tread at your mom's house while she watches the baby, or counting your breaths on the subway, Peloton is for all of us, wherever we are, whenever we need it. Download the free Peloton app today. Peloton app available through free tier or paid subscription starting at $12.99 per month.
Uh-oh! It is the Zach Gelb Show right here on CBS Sports Radio. Hickey is feuding with Erica Herskowitz, who's like my favorite person to ever walk the studios here at 345 Hudson Street. Erica's just wonderful. They're fighting now back and forth on Twitter because Erica was just keeping it real with these Hickey shower no-cap videos. Thomas on Twitter is wondering what Hickey's girlfriend thinks of these videos because you revealed that you pee in the shower all the time. And Moist Pork, the great Moist Pork, who is a real person. I met Moist Pork at the Bob's Bar Show. Great dude. He said, when does Hickey install a garbage disposal in the drain like Kramer did in Seinfeld? And you know what? It would not surprise me, Hickey, since you do everything in the shower. You go to the bathroom in the shower. You brush your teeth in the shower. You now give sports takes in the shower. If you would need a garbage disposal in the shower, because you probably do your cooking for all the dinner that you do make each and every night, all those pastas in the shower as well. I think you could just buy a shower, Hickey. Your next home is just a shower. All you need is a bathroom, and I think you could live accordingly the way that you do live.
If I was able to get a little burner in there and boil some water in the shower, I would do it. I love the shower. It's the best.
Okay. You ever take a bath? Just wondering?
No, not a bath guy. I don't like kind of sitting in my own water. I think it's a little weird, personally.
But you have no problem peeing in the shower, but
goes right down the drain.
Is a problem.
That's right.
Okay. Just asking. Just curious.
So not
minds are inquiring.
Big bath guy. You like baths?
I haven't taken a bath in a long time. But I'll tell you, you know what I have now done back-to-back weekends? I've gone in a jacuzzi, in a hot tub. So I've been frequenting in the hot tub, which I do enjoy. Hot tub on a Sunday has been a good ritual the last two Sundays.
Hot tub is great. Big fan of the hot tub.
All righty, Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. Man, I'm telling you, real quickly before we'll get to a news brief in just a second, I don't think this is going to end well for you, fighting against Erica Herskowitz. I don't usually advocate deleting tweets, but the tweet that you just sent to Erica, you root for Rutgers, get serious. If I was you, and I'm just going to give you this advice, I'm going to be like a friend talking to Damian Lillard right now, telling Dame it's time to give up on Portland and you got to leave. I'm going to be that good friend to you right now. I would delete that tweet. Only a few people have seen it right now. Not enough people have probably screen grabbed it yet. Send it back to Erica, even if you deleted it. I think you should get out of this problem now before this really becomes an issue for you. I would delete the tweet.
I stand by what I said. I have no problem with that.
Okay. Okay. You're going to make Erica return to the office. When she comes stomping in here, you're going to be running the other direction. You're going to be hiding. I don't think you want to see Erica Herskowitz mad. That's just me. I think you are getting in a fight that you're not going to be able to win here, Hickey. If she starts to get ruthless, and if she goes beneath, right, the level of success here with how long she's been here, and if she starts punching down at you, I think that's going to be a big-time problem for you. A big-time problem.
I'm a big boy. I can handle whatever is going to be said.
Okay, I'll take a plus 330 right now. Hickey crying by the end of the week. All righty, let's update you on some of the biggest stories in the world of sports with some audio. We get to a news brief.
Time for your daily news brief. We get you caught up on the rumors, reports, and reconnaissance from the day in sports.
All righty, let's start things off with the take that did elicit the Hickey reaction that Bill Belichick is going to get fired at the end of the year. Once again, the views of Hot Tick Hickey do not reflect the views of Zach Gelb and the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. But here is Robert Kraft with Michael Rubin. And he says only one thing will make him happy this season. That's a Super Bowl. This courtesy of ABC6.
And one thing I know about you, you won't be satisfied if one thing doesn't happen, right? What's the only thing that makes it all worthwhile?
Number seven.
So that little soundbite right there, Hickey, that is you hearing that that is Super Bowl or bust this year for the New England Patriots, and you think that puts a lot of pressure and it turns up the heat on the hot seat for Bill Belichick? Because I just hear that, and every owner should say that. Oh, what's the only thing that satisfies you? Winning a Super Bowl. It doesn't mean that it's Super Bowl or bust.
Well, sure, maybe in a vacuum, sure, but this is also not the first time he talked about high expectations. He talked about the owner's meetings, basically it's playoffs or bust. Talked about how he's not someone who really cares a lot about individual awards, which with Bill Belichick being close to having the all-time wins list, or being the all-time wins leader, I should say, among hand coaches, it's not like he's going to be okay with him hanging on for dear life at the end just to break the record on the Patriots sideline. Robert Kraft, I give him a lot of credit because, again, if it was me and I had six championships and I had a head coach there that won and had a lot of success with for 20 years.
More than just a lot of success.
I probably
the ultimate success.
Would be complacent. I'll be honest, I probably would. So I give him credit that he's not complacent, that he's frustrated that they haven't been in the playoffs now in a year, and they missed it two of the last 3 years, and haven't won a playoff game since 2018, and they won the Super Bowl. I give him a lot of credit. And I don't think that he's going to have the patience, if this season goes south, which I think it will, to sit around and kind of let same old continue.
When you say goes south, how many wins for the Patriots? Because the Patriots didn't have this tremendous team last year. And if they would have won the last game of the regular season, they would have been in the playoffs. So that didn't happen. The Buffalo Bills won that football game, and the Patriots ended up being 8-9. Even when the Patriots aren't great, it's not like they ever bottom out in there. They're at 5 or 6 wins.
Probably say like between 7-10 and 8-9, somewhere in that range, maybe 7-9 wins.
And you think that's going to be enough to get Belichick fired?
Well, again, if you're Robert Kraft and you want to make the playoffs, and you are a team that's under 500 in a loaded AFC, getting nowhere closer to your goal, yes, I do.
I think him just rubbing elbows with Michael Rubin, who's a dear friend, and Michael Rubin looks at Robert Kraft like he's a father figure, and him just saying those words, oh, and until I get 7, I won't be satisfied, I don't think that really changes my opinion one way or another in terms of Bill Belichick potentially getting fired this year. And I've said this before. I think if Belichick misses the playoffs 3 years in a row, so if he misses this year and the year after that, then he will get fired. But if they go get, like you said, 8 or 9 wins this year, I do anticipate Bill Belichick being back. And here's the other part about this. Is Belichick actually ever going to get fired? And I'm not talking about semantics, oh, he retired or you just flat out get rid of him. Don't you think the move for Belichick would be they just fully move him upstairs full time? Or they make some kind of role for him?
I mean, would he take that? I don't know. And if you're Robert Kraft, what's the point in doing that, I guess, at that point? Like, he's already the GM. He's already the head coach. Like,
it just wouldn't shock me.
What are you going to do?
It wouldn't shock me.
If that's the case, he moved to a quote-unquote senior position, the president of football operations, whatever you want to give him, you got removed from your main position then. So I would still consider that a firing.
And you think that could happen this offseason? This upcoming offseason?
Yes. Yes, I do.
I would say there's maybe a 25% chance, 30% chance at most of that happening. I think it would have to get really ugly where they have to be like a 6 or 5 win team, and I don't think that's going to be the case. All righty, let's keep it moving. Tyler Conklin of the Jets says he would love to see Dalvin Cook join the Jets. This is courtesy of Good Morning Football.
There's plenty of room. We got room for whoever wants to come help us win a Super Bowl. But, yeah, me and Del were, like, basically locker mates, so my first couple of years. And, you know, he was an awesome guy. I reached out to him because I was just curious, like, are the rumors true? You know, is this actually possible? And I mean, that would be a special backfield with, you know, Brees and Delvin and the rookie and whatnot. So Mike Carter, I don't know. That'd be, there's a lot of running backs, but I think that it'd be special, especially in this outside zone scheme.
Hickey, if you were Dalvin Cook, and I'm not just saying who you think is the best team, but what's the best fit for you and just what you would prioritize. When you look at Miami or the Jets, if you're Dalvin Cook and let's say you had that choice, would you go to Miami or would you go to the Jets?
That's actually really tough. I would probably, because both things are going to throw the ball a ton if you're trying to.
I know how you're going to answer this question.
I would probably say the Dolphins.
I knew you were going to say the Dolphins.
Better chance of getting the ball at a higher volume, especially running the ball, than you would with the Jets.
I think that he would get more carries with the Jets than he would with the Dolphins. You look at that Dolphins running back room. They have Raheem Mostert. They have Jeff Wilson Jr. I know the Jets have Brees Hall, but Brees Hall's coming off an injury. Michael Carter, as much as we love when he comes on this show, Michael Carter had a good year one, and then they drafted Brees Hall. I think he would get a good amount of carries. And also, if he's going to the Jets, it means one thing. Aaron Rodgers wants him. So Aaron Rodgers is going to keep him happy. Where I think with the Dolphins, yeah, on the roster, he'd be the best running back, but I do think they would rotate those backs in. There's three backs to rotate with the Jets. Dalvin Cook would get the majority of the carries, and then you would also rotate Brees Hall, and then Michael Carter would probably be buried down the depth chart. That's just the way that I look at it. I do think the Dolphins are a better team, but I think the better fit for Dalvin Cook would be the New York Jets. Let's go to Brian Windhorst. He says Damian Lillard will be patient with the Trailblazers. This comes right after their meeting yesterday between Dame, his agent, and the front office. This courtesy of our friends at GetUp.
He said at the end of the season, get me veterans. The draft came and went, no veterans. He's still not pressing from what I have been told, that he is still going to give the Blazers every opportunity to work through this free agency process this week, whether it's through trades or signing players. Now, I will tell you that this is going to potentially cause some teams that were going to make offers for him to have to move on with business. They were waiting to see whether Dame Lillard was going to be on the market before they started to make moves this week. Now some teams are going to have to make a decision, either go forward or wait around. Lillard is going to wait around. It's certainly a move. It's, I guess, not surprising considering the way Dame has operated with the Blazers now for years. But it did take some people in the league by surprise that he didn't go forward with what everyone was expecting him to do.
The music in that clip is really weird. In the beginning, it's highly intense music, and then it just randomly stops. At the end, the music picks back up. That wasn't something recorded in the background on our end, Tiki. That was the actual music in the clip?
That is correct, yep.
All right, that sounded weird. So sometimes in radio, right, Hickey, you say something one day and then the next day, because things happen, you change your opinion. In one of our meetings recently with actually Spike Eskin, because I always joke, Spike is our boss, obviously. I always joke with you, Hickey, that you're very stubborn and you don't change your opinion until you've been dragged up and down the field and it's been proven that you've been defeated and you lost. And let's say you're in a boxing ring and you get the 10 count and then you're knocked out and you're done. So Spike was listening to us a few weeks ago and he said that he was stunned, absolutely stunned, when you change your opinion on the Phoenix Suns, where you criticize the deal just because of how vocal you've been in supporting the Phoenix Suns and thinking that they're going to be this really good team. So he was surprised to hear you criticize the Suns and the Bradley Beal deal. And if you remember, I was genuinely shocked as well. So let me just ask you this. I just want to get kind of a heat check here. Yesterday, you were adamant that Dame is going to be done in Portland eventually. After having this meeting and then hearing that Windhorst timeline where he's once again giving Portland an opportunity to prove that they could do enough to have a championship team or a team that he thinks he could contend with. And you remember what Windhorst said yesterday? He doesn't necessarily want to go to a team that's stacked, filled with all-stars, all that stuff. And you even hear Windhorst today talk about some teams are going to have to say, okay, we're done. We're pulling out on Damian Lillard because he's not making a decision. We can't run that risk of him saying, I'm going to stay in Portland, and that was going to be our big move. We have to go elsewhere. Has anything changed in, let's say, the last 24 hours where yesterday you were convinced he's done, and then today maybe you changed that tune at all? Just wondering.
No, sir. Feet are planted squarely in the camp of he is getting traded.
I'm even more confident today that he's staying. after hearing Windhorse. Because as I said yesterday, and maybe I'll be dead wrong, but as I said yesterday, I think the math isn't adding up. It did not add up when you're at the draft and there's all that talk. If you don't use the number three overall pick to get veteran players, then you're probably going to hear him request a trade. So that doesn't happen. That domino falls. Now, it's okay. Just give me something that we could work with. Give me something that we could compete with. Dame wants to stay in Portland. And as long as maybe Jeremy Grant is back and you get another minuscule piece in there, I think he's going to talk himself into that's enough for me to go contend, because the guy just does not want to leave Portland. And maybe he's just hoping that he doesn't even have to make that decision and you just let this play out naturally where you wait, and then maybe Miami makes a move and then they're out. Or you look at a team like Brooklyn. Well, Brooklyn will always be there probably because I can't see them really making a move. But I just think he's trying to wait for all the other dominoes to fall, where even though everyone thinks for the most part, like 99.9% of us, that he should request a trade, I think he's hoping he puts himself in a corner where it's like a dead end, and then he just has to stay in Portland. I really do believe that. And that Windhorse clip that I just heard, it makes no sense when you continue to wait and continue to have patience with this team when they have not been able to build a roster around you forever, if we're being honest.
What I will say is this. You can have patience for a week. Like, you look at the statement that Joe Cronin put out through Chris Haynes yesterday. We are committed to building a winner around Dame. There's no timeline set. You could be committed later this week when free agency starts. If we're going to go for it, but they don't have a lot of cap space. Don't really have a lot of moves and or reasons for, you know, big trades to go down where people are wanting to come to Portland. You can try the first few days and nothing comes to fruition. Then what? Like, I think you can sell and you can truly put out there, I'm going to give them one last chance without putting a timeline on it and say, okay, that one last chance is this week. Let's see what we can do. And if by, I don't know, let's just make up a date next Tuesday.
Well, let's do this. Let's put a cutoff date on it. When do you have a date in mind where you go, okay, I've seen enough. Dame's going to be back. I might even say for the rest of his career with Portland, just by the first game of the season with Portland. Is there a cutoff date that you have in mind?
I mean, August 1st? I probably even earlier. Like
that long? Wow.
I mean, July 15th? Like, it's, I would think that if it's going to happen, it would be within the next 2 weeks because, again, you're not going to wait that long. And also, I don't know what you're waiting for if you're Dame after the first. Like, all these free agent moves happen, the first 24, 48 hours?
Yep.
A lot happens very quickly.
So free agency starts on Friday.
Right. So you don't have to. You don't wait until July 8th to see where the chips fall.
If we're sitting here, I'll just buy myself an extra day. If we're sitting here on Tuesday, July 11th, and Damian Lillard has not been traded yet, I will triple and quadruple down on my statement that Dame is staying in Portland. I will bypass the doubling down and just go to tripling and quadrupling down on Dame staying there, because you will then have the start of free agency, an entire week, and then Monday to communicate coming off a weekend that you haven't done anything in Portland. And if he's still sitting there on that Tuesday and he hasn't said, let me be clear, not necessarily traded, but if he hasn't said I want out or communicated that to the front office, then I don't think he's getting traded this offseason. Because that's, you get a week. If you're going to wait through all of July to see what they're going to do and give them that benefit of the doubt, eventually you're going to have enough teams that pull on out because they can't wait for you. And they got to go make a decision.
I guess the one thing I'll say is with the Heat and with the Nets, the two teams that he at least talked about wanting to play for, and them two being right now the only rumored teams that would show interest, they can wait. Like, the Heat have been already reported they're going to wait out Dame. And, like, what are the Nets truly going to do? Like, you look at the free agent period, if the Nets want to, they can wait till September 1st on Dame.
But don't get me wrong. If Dame leaves Portland to go to Brooklyn, what are we doing here? You're not winning a championship in Brooklyn. You think that team's winning a championship?
No, I don't.
Okay. So that's just him saying he wants to win a championship and doing another move that doesn't indicate you want to win a championship. Miami is right there. Maybe Milwaukee too. Boston, I don't think they're trading Jaylen Brown. And for whatever reason, Dame doesn't want to go to Boston.
So this is simple. You give Portland another week. If they can't do anything, Miami, hello. It's that simple. Get it done. But I just don't think he's ever going to say the words, I want to get traded. At least this offseason. Brian Winhorst says he thinks James Harden will remain a Sixer. This courtesy of GetUp.
The Sixers are operating like they've got a good chance to keep James Harden. Other teams out there that are Harden suitors seem to be looking elsewhere. I will say that a year ago, there was the same sort of uncertainty, and James Harden emerged with this sort of surprising deal structure that he negotiated pretty much directly with Daryl Morey. He doesn't use an agent traditionally. He consults agents, but he you know, really talks with Daryl directly. And so last year, it included a pay cut and an option for this upcoming season. I do not think he's going to take that option for $35 million, because I think he can get more just staying there. The question to me is going to be, if he remains in Philadelphia, what is that deal structure? Is he looking for a 3 or 4 year deal, or does he sign short again?
Two teams have something in common this offseason, Hickey. It's the Sixers and it's the Mavericks. Damned if you do, damned if you don't. If the Sixers don't re-sign James Harden, what are you doing to expand that championship window for Joel Embiid? But if you bring back James Harden, like, no one actually thinks you're going to go win a championship. But I think that does inch Joel Embiid closer and closer to finally saying that he would want out of Philadelphia. And you look at the Mavericks, you already made that move to go get Kyrie. I think it'd be ludicrous if you give Kyrie a 4-year deal just because you can't trust a guy and he has commitment issues ever since leaving LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers. But if you don't bring back Kyrie Irving, what are you doing? And I don't think you're that far off from Luka Doncic then saying, Mark Cuban, get me out of here. I want to get traded. I'll do what other stars have done, and I'll go elsewhere to try to put myself in the best position to win a championship. Now, I trust James Harden more than I trust Kyrie Irving. Kyrie Irving's a better basketball player, but Kyrie's problem is the availability, and he's unreliable. But both of those teams, I wouldn't be upset if Harden leaves Philadelphia and Kyrie leaves Dallas, but I don't think you're throwing a parade if they're leaving either, because you just wonder what the next move is, and there's no really market out there for either of those teams. Yeah, maybe you get Dame potentially, but how do you match salaries? Do you want to lose Tyrese Maxey if you're Philadelphia? And for the Mavericks, I don't see what the heck they could do. They got like no resources. They got no assets. Because Dame and Luka, sure, that would be wonderful. It'd be great. But what are you going to do to go get in there?
Use all those assets, what, 3 months, 4 months too early? The Mavs did. Yeah, they got nothing. They're screwed. They are truly between a rock and a hard place, and similar with the Sixers. That is maybe what hell on earth is like. If you're a GM of the Sixers and you're a GM of the Mavericks, looking at James Harden and Kyrie Irving, we're not going to win with them. We can't do anything if they're gone anyway.
And only bad can happen where we'll lose our star.
Right.
So that's why I think if you're Philadelphia and if you're Dallas, you have to bring back both of those guys. Even though you don't want to, if I had to lean one way or another, I would hold my nose when I would do this, but I bring back James Harden if I'm Philadelphia, and I think they will. And I would bring back Kyrie Irving if I'm the Dallas Mavericks, because you can't run the risk of losing Luka Doncic. You lose Luka Doncic, team's donezo for the foreseeable future. News brief, Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio.
When the whole family comes together to watch the game, nobody wants to miss a second of the action to run to the grocery store. With Instacart, you can get all your weekly groceries in as fast as an hour. Less time shopping means more game time. Let's go. Visit instacart.com to get free delivery on your first 3 orders. Offer valid for a limited time. $10 minimum per order. Additional terms apply.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. A rough day for your boy, as not only did my credit card get hacked and someone bought an iPhone off my credit card, my emails getting sent all around the country. And I've had at least 400 emails today, Hickey. Earlier this morning, it was like $1.50. I have at least had 400 emails today where my email's been used somewhere to sign up for something and they're looking for me to confirm it. What a pain in the ass. Oh, and you know what else I didn't tell you about? You have a Roku TV? Do you use Roku, just wondering?
No. I'm familiar, but no.
So I get back to my apartment last night, and I have cable, and then on the other TV, I have a Roku remote and a device. So I have two remotes. They're the same remote, you know, sometimes you get a remote stuck in the couch and you can't find it. So I just ordered another remote. I go to sit down. Neither of the remotes are working. With the two that I have, and I only need one to get the TV on for the Roku to work. So I don't even know what I was trying to. I was just trying to watch something, whether it was Netflix or HBO, something. Could not get the Roku to work. So I go, oh, maybe the batteries are dead. What are the odds that both batteries are dead in both remotes? So I changed the batteries. I had to actually, I didn't have any batteries left in my apartment. So I walked to the local 7-Eleven, changed the batteries. Still don't work. So I had to reset the entire television, unplug the television, right? Follow all the steps, all these videos, how to reset the entire thing, and what are the tricks? Nothing works. Nothing works. So eventually, the TV turns on, and then the buttons on the remote outside the power button does not work. So I gave up, unplugged the TV, took the batteries out because they tell you to do that, and I just went to bed. This morning, I wake up, plug back in the TV, power on the Roku system, right? It turns on. I had to reset everything. Had to re-sign in. All the apps came back up. Good. Then I tried to turn off the TV using the one remote that I was using. Won't power off. Then randomly, I just pressed the power button on the other remote. Turns the TV off. So now I have two remotes, and this is the issue all throughout the day. One can turn the volume up, can mute it, can navigate all the devices, get you from app to app, and I have to use the other device, the other remote, to power on the TV and turn it off. Just a complete disaster. It's the same looking remote. It's the same remote. And for some reason, the power button isn't working on one. It's working on the other. All the other buttons don't work on the other. But the other one to navigate around does work. Just what a mess it's been for the last 24 hours with my credit card getting stolen, getting hacked, someone buying an iPhone, my email getting thrown out to 500 websites where I can't even understand any of the websites that they want me to sign up for, and then Roku just being a complete pain in the ass the last 24 hours. I need someone on like Geek Squad at my house at all times, and maybe a security. And maybe a bouncer to make sure that nothing gets hacked or anything like that.
When it truly rains, it pours, huh? That's pretty brutal.
It's
That's actually
mess.
Very frustrating.
All I wanted to do was get back to my apartment last night and watch some damn TV. That's all I wanted to do. Catch up on some shows, things like that. You recommended some shows. I was going to, what was it, Yellowstone that you said to me yesterday?
Loving Yellowstone right now. That's the one.
Yeah, I was going to go down a rabbit hole last night of watching some new TV show and binge watch because I'm a sucker for binge watching. I love binge watching. I could be on my couch until 4 in the morning binge watching a new show, and I couldn't even get there. So I was very frustrated last night when I went to bed. And then I wake up, and it's, oh, more crap getting thrown your way. I thought someone was playing a prank on me when I had a charge this morning for $1,200 on my credit card for an iPhone.
Yeah, that's... Hey, at least I'll say bright side, because I'm an optimist by nature. The TV's working, and maybe two remotes, but it's working. Your credit card wasn't stolen in terms of the actual physical card. You were able to catch a charge early. So hopefully you didn't lose $1,200. And yeah, your emails are getting spammed right now, but you're not hacked. Could be a lot worse. Could be a lot worse.
Well, there's actually one more thing that happened. What kind of trash can do you have in your apartment? Just wondering.
A normal one?
Like the lid.
No lid.
No lid.
No lid.
Doesn't that stink up your apartment? Do you have like the trash can in a cabinet or something? Like a lower part of the sink?
Okay. Underneath the sink.
So for my trash can, there's a button that you press and it opens up the trash can. The lid of the trash can broke 2 days ago as well. Just what a mess. It is a complete S storm in my apartment. It's a disaster.
You know what?
I got bad luck right now.
I was going to say, I am mushing sports teams. You look like you're mushing technology. Stay far away from me.
I'm just mushing everything these days. I think I've been around you too much recently.
No.
Your powers are now rubbing off on me.
My powers don't extend past bad sports takes. So technology's unaffected. Social media is unaffected. The world in general is unaffected. Technology, maybe you to technology, what... Some people would say is me to predictions. Again, I wouldn't agree with that statement. other people would say, you know, say maybe incorrect things.
Some say you're the dumbest takes on the internet.
Again, I would not endorse that. I would not say that that's an accurate statement whatsoever. But if you think that if some people out there think that I'm a quote unquote mush, which I don't think exists, but
you
have your thoughts. If I'm that to sports, you might be that to technology.
Yeah.
Recently.
We'll see what happens. I kind of want to find the person that hacked my credit card because they ordered that iPhone to a local mall in Long Island. Are they going to go pick it up tomorrow? I don't think that you're actually just ordering the iPhone. It's like, surprise. Okay, that's it. I'm not going to actually go pick it up. You would think that they were going to pick that iPhone up tomorrow, right?
Do you know what time? Did it say a time?
It gave a
pickup window?
It gave the hours of the store. It said it would be available to pick up whenever the store opened up tomorrow.
That would have been kind of a fun adventure. Beat up the guy to try to use your credit card.
We get the CBS Sports Wrecking Crew around here.
I would assume a computer hacker is frail, is my guess. I don't think they're a big, beefy, strong guy. I would assume more of a nerdish build.
You never know. You never know when people get behind the
You could
computer.
Take them.
You never know. It used to be on dating apps, I'm sure. Sometimes you see a picture of somebody, you're like, very attractive. Then you show up in person, not so much. Looks could be very deceiving. What you think someone looks like could be very, very, very different than what they are in reality.
I think a computer hacker would fit a certain profile, maybe compare it to dating app profiles.
Now Hickey is stereotyping what a computer hacker looks like. Anyway, getting back to your take from earlier, you think Bill Belichick is going to get fired at the end of the season. I vehemently disagree with you on that one. When we get to other surprise firings around the NFL, this year comes and goes, doesn't go one way for a team. I'm going to give you one name, Hickey, and then you give me another name. I think Sean McDermott could be one. Now, I think a lot of people are surprised by that answer because I'm a big fan of Sean McDermott. The Bills didn't make the playoffs in like 20 years. Sean McDermott gets there. They're in the playoffs every year or almost every year. They made it 5 out of 6 years. Last year, they had Super Bowl expectations. They get embarrassed at home in the second round. If, let's say, the Bills lose the AFC East this year and then lose Wild Card Weekend, I know McDermott has done wonders for that franchise and has put them in a really respectable spot. It wouldn't surprise me if maybe the Bills have to go make a move with some of the dysfunction that's been going on the last few weeks with the Buffalo Bills. And remember, the goal of this exercise, it's called a surprise firing. So the name at first when you hear it, you may go, that guy's never going to get fired. I think some people would react that way to Sean McDermott. But that's kind of the name of the game. It's expect the unexpected here. So I would throw the Buffalo Bills in a very tough AFC East and also a very tough AFC as McDermott, that seat is warmer than it's ever been before with him in Buffalo.
Outside of Belichick, another name I would throw out there is Matt LaFleur. There's been questions about Matt LaFleur.
Wow.
Is it him? Is it Aaron Rodgers? If things implode, with Jordan Love, and we're talking about a 3-14 team, and Jordan Love just looks totally lost. I know the Packers are not one to rush to fire, especially after the last, 4 years, LaFleur has been there and done a good job. Because it's surprising, right? Like Ron Rivera is not surprising if they don't do well and he's fired. I would, you look at Dennis Allen, I don't think surprising if he gets fired, the Saints don't win the division. I wonder if you're the Packers sitting there 3-14 with a guy that lukewarm on, but maybe still optimistic about in Jordan Love. If you feel, you know what, we're going to give him one more year, but we don't think it's his problem. It's a coaching problem. Let's see if that fixes it.
The one thing with both LaFleur and Belichick where I just can't see them getting fired no matter how bad the season is this year is Mac Jones is still going to be the quarterback next year for the Patriots, and Jordan Love probably still going to be the quarterback next year for the Packers. And if that's a make-or-break year for both those quarterbacks a year from now, I don't think you're going to go have a coaching change and uproot the entire coaching staff on both sides.
That'd be my one counter-argument. That's the time to do it, though, right? Like, if the Patriots don't play well this year, Mac Jones doesn't improve,
but what can
wouldn't
you expect
it make
year one
sense
of a new coach?
In theory, to move on from Bill Belichick to see if they're a new coach and a new voice and a new direction can jumpstart your quarterback in either Mac Jones or Jordan Love?
You know what? I'll give you one. I'll give you one here. What about Dan Campbell? Everyone's picking the Lions to make the playoffs. If they go 8-9 this year, is he out of a job after 3 years?
I don't think so.
You still think he would be back? When everyone's saying they should win that division, they'll be a playoff team. If they go 8-9 and miss the playoffs and regress from last year being 9-8, you think he's going to be back?
I do.
Okay. I would maybe say, as Sal Palantoni would say, I would throw Dan Campbell and that name in like the lurking category of guys that could be lurking to get fired if the Detroit Lions miss the playoffs this year.
Do you hear that? That is the sound of BMW performance without a single piston or cylinder. A generation of all-electric vehicles designed and built like no other. The BMW iX, i7, and i4 revolutionize every drive into a thrilling opportunity to feel the pure rush of BMW 100% electric. But isn't that what you'd expect from the ultimate electric driving machine? Take advantage of exceptional lease and finance offers today.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. I was reading from Tom Pelissero from the NFL Network, where he said one situation that nobody's talking about is Josh Jacobs at this point. If there's not a long-term deal, I don't anticipate Jacobs being there at the start of training camp, and I don't know that he shows up week one, and close quotes. So here's the thing that you got to remember. Because, Hickey, we get told so many things that you just automatically assume, okay, it can never happen this way anymore. You always get told now it's impossible to hold out and it's holding in. But Josh Jacobs doesn't have a contract right now. He has a franchise tag and he has to sign that. He hasn't signed that yet, from my knowledge. So you have until it's July 17th, I believe, is the deadline to get a long-term deal done. But if he doesn't get that long-term deal done, from my knowledge, it's not as if Josh Jacobs has to sign that contract right away, the franchise tag. So if Josh Jacobs wanted to put up a big stink here, from my understanding of the situation, he could, and that would fall in line with missing training camp, and then maybe eventually he'll sign the tender and he'll play, you would think, but miss game one to kind of stick it to the Las Vegas Raiders. But here's the weird part about this, Hickey. There's a big difference between Saquon Barkley and Josh Jacobs. Now, both are incredible football players. But Josh Jacobs wasn't supposed to be in the plans moving forward for the Raiders. Remember, they declined his fifth-year option. And then he had his best year of his career. For Saquon Barkley, it's always, can he be healthy? And he was able, for the most part, to stay healthy last year and then put up a big year. So I look at Jacobs as someone that, yes, the Raiders should keep him, but remember who's the coach there. For good and bad, it's Josh McDaniels. Josh McDaniels comes from the Patriot way, where they've had Antoine Smith, they've had Corey Dillon, they've had Stephen Ridley, Shane Vereen, Lawrence Maroney, Ben Jarvis Green Ellis, James White, LeGarrette Blount. I could keep on going and going and going. Running backs have been rotated in and out of New England. And really, outside of 2 years with Corey Dillon, there was never a guy that was brought in at the running back position where you're like, wow, this is a guy that has been a bell cow back before in the NFL. So you need to value the run game. But the idea of just having one guy at the running back position isn't valued anymore. And, Hickey, I'm just going to go out on a limb here. Knowing the way that we think we know Josh McDaniels, if a player is holding out a training camp, and let's just say he misses the first game of the regular season, which is all in play according to Tom Pelissero, I don't think Josh Jacobs is going to be in the good graces of Josh McDaniels, and he will be in the doghouse. And Josh McDaniels will probably be petulant and he'll be very petty even though it's business and Josh Jacobs is trying to get paid and is trying to get a long-term deal. If it goes to that level, you could already end the Raiders season before it even started. You may be able to do that right now anyway, but you could really say rest in peace to the Raiders season, because if you have the coach in Josh McDaniels feuding with Josh Jacobs to start the season and there is a beef there, that doesn't get settled, and for the way for it to get settled with Josh Jacobs, it's to get a contract done by July 17th, this could get really, really ugly. And it's not as if the Raiders need any more drama. It's not as if they need any more clowns to add to the circus. I like Josh Jacobs. He came on this show. I don't blame him for wanting to get paid right now. And if he feels like this helps his case and helps running backs for the future, if you want to roll your eyes at that or take it seriously, whatever, do what you feel like you got to do. I'm not going to fault you for that. But I don't believe that Josh McDaniels is going to be like, all right, everything's all great. Everything's all wonderful. We didn't pay him. He didn't show up for training camp. Maybe he missed the first game of the season, or at least threatened to miss the first game of the season. I don't think once Josh Jacobson walks into that facility, it's all good with the Raiders, and that will be a serious issue throughout the year with Josh Jacobs and also Josh McDaniels.
Oh, 100%. 100%. You go back to early this year when Devontae Adams took shots at the GM and had to post a picture of those two guys the next day. Like, everything's all good. Like, the Raiders have had a very tumultuous offseason so far where a lot of players are not exactly shy in voicing their frustrations. Obviously, different frustrations with Adams and Josh Jacobs. But also, too, if you're the Raiders, I think part of the interest here is, like, what's their direction? Like, I would argue
they have no
if
direction.
You are going for it and still are in a win-now mode,
they're not
you extend
going for
Josh
it.
Jacobs and you keep him. But, I mean, would it be crazy if they trade Devontae Adams after this season?
No.
And just burn it down? I would say, I'm with you. Like, I don't know the direction.
That wouldn't shock me.
They're probably better off tearing it down than trying to piece it together and go for it. And that's the case, or you're kind of one foot in, one foot out, then you don't pay Josh Jacobs and just let him go after next year. But it is, they are just a total mess, an absolute mess.
They're a bleep show. There's no other way around it. Now, I'm really curious what that schedule looks like for the Raiders. They play Denver to open up the season, Buffalo, Pittsburgh, the Chargers. Those are the first four games of the season. Now, I don't know what Denver's going to be. I don't know what Pittsburgh's going to be, but the Chargers will be really good. Buffalo's going to be really good. Wouldn't shock me if we're looking at 1-3, 0-4 for the Raiders to open up the year. And if that's the case, I know Mark Davis loves Josh McDaniels and he was oohed and aahed by him. But if you start off the year like 1-3, 0-4, how do you continue to sell that to your fan base?
With two of your best players feuding with the coach and the GM, and you're, I get it. Derek Carr looks at them more than they look at him. But the way you cut your quarterback and then did not do anything to upgrade, most dysfunctional team in the league. Take the crown.
Oh, don't worry. Your team will do something. Your owner will guarantee like 7 Super Bowls
this
decade.
That's nowhere near the Raiders right now, how bad they are.
You just hired Jeff Saturday.
And hired Shane Steichen.
Last year.
And by the way, beat Josh McDaniels too.
Congrats. Man, that's what Hickey's celebrating. How the mighty have fallen.
Loser!
Do you hear that? That is the sound of BMW performance without a single piston or cylinder. A generation of all-electric vehicles designed and built like no other. The BMW iX, i7, and i4 revolutionize every drive into a thrilling opportunity to feel the pure rush of BMW 100% electric. But isn't that what you'd expect from the ultimate electric driving machine? Take advantage of exceptional lease and finance offers today.